Sports Hub headlines.
Two Boston teams played two Tampa teams last night, two very different outcomes. We'll begin with the Red Sox, who lost their season opener to the Rays 6-4, despite having a 4-0 lead in the eighth inning. Joe Kelly, you want to talk about your outing?
You know, there's always, you know, could have tried this, could have done that. At the end of the day, you know, it's something out there that, you know, that's pretty pathetic what I did. I mean, that's just, can't do that. Like I said, I don't think I've ever done it, and it's probably going to be the last time, hopefully.
Kelly walked three Rays, got just one out in the eighth inning. Carson Smith actually took the loss. David Price will get the start tonight for the second of the four-game set. Meanwhile, the Bruins with a big win, 4-2 over the visiting Tampa Bay Lightning last night at the TD Garden. Very chippy game, multiple fights. Two teams will face off again next week. Tomorrow, the Bruins stay home to take on the Florida Panthers. Celtics with the night off. And then there will be a quick turnaround at the Garden tomorrow night as they will be there to host the Raptors. And Cavaliers coach Tyronn Lue planning to rejoin the team, but just as an observer against the New Orleans Pelicans tonight. He's been off since March 19th when he took some time away from the team due to medical and rest issues. Headlines brought to you by Budweiser. Join the Zolak and Bertrand show for a home opener live broadcast. This Thursday, 10 to 2, Lucky Strike Fenway, Budweiser brewed for baseball. I'm Hardy. I'm Boston's home for sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub. More headlines in 30 minutes.
98.5 The Sports Hub is Boston's home for sports. 98.5thesportshub.com is Boston's home page for sports. Add it to your bookmarks and stay in the game. Making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop, flop, flop.
It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Josie's on a vacation far away. Come around and talk it over. So many things that I want to say. You know I like my girls a little bit older. I just want to use your love tonight.
This Friday, 617-779-0985. Malcolm Butler is the story that will not die.
Thank you. I told you.
It will not die, and there is news-y stuff. It's news-ish.
News information.
You will hear from Malcolm Butler himself coming up at 1220 here on Zolak and Bertrand. In the meantime.
Not that far off from the conversation we just had last
night. No, it's... He's a space cadet, as we're coming to learn. He's out there a little bit.
So you're saying he wasn't locked in?
We'll get to it, Zoe. We will get to it. Let's, in the meantime, get to the calls on everything from the day. Red Sox, Bruins. Matt is in Attleboro. Matt.
Oh, boy. How we doing?
Hey.
I can't go too crazy. Seeing the big baby man right now. But anyways, I wanted to question the Bruins' physicality. But that is pretty much eating my shorts now. I'm not afraid of – you guys are talking about Hall. I mean, we got Pasternak. He put on his big boy pants last night, stepped it up, and defended Mr. Bergeron. Tuca got into it. I'm not afraid of any of these guys. These guys aren't afraid of any of these teams. I tell you what, bring on Squid Square. We got some scores to settle still. Let's go back to Squid Square. What's up, bro? What's up, Joe?
Matt.
Yo. It's always so loud.
I can't understand it.
We weren't
a little garbled. We're not afraid of everybody.
Judd seems afraid of everybody in the Eastern Conference.
Judd was talking about
Taylor Hall. Judd's very fearful of the playoffs right now. Fearful of everybody. Toronto, New Jersey.
Be 6-1 and half dozen in the other.
Joe's like,
which
well,
one? Which one? Face? Which I don't one? Want to face any of them. They're all hard.
Well, the question is, which one do you want?
That's what he's saying.
Pick one. Pick one.
What? If I were you.
What? You saying what? You think I'd bitch slap you like you did Jones last night? You want that?
I have to do those Bruins post games.
Joe in Bellingham. Joseph.
Boys, how we doing?
Hey.
Doing well.
Dude, I was in the building last night. That place was jumping. That was a playoff game, my friend.
Felt
that way.
It was
awesome. We're poised to make a run here, I'm telling you. We got as much a shot as anybody else.
Yeah, I think we were saying that before last night, but there's something that is new and different about last night's game.
There's added juice to the why not conversation.
They're embracing it.
Why not the Browns?
They're embracing it.
Tell me why not.
They're embracing it. You're not backing in. You're not counting points. You're gearing up for it. You know what? Like I said, and I said it yesterday. You're like, whoa, whoa, whoa. They did get pushed around the other night, even though he came back in that game and it went to overtime.
Yeah, and they whined
felt like
and
they
complained
physically
about
got bitched, right.
And we thought, what are they doing?
Right. And what they do, they respond.
That was great.
That's great.
That's how they should do it.
That's
what they did last
night. We're
going
to have to do this. With guys, young guys, this is the way playoff hockey is going to be. Teams are going to get out there and think they're going to be able to push us around.
There's a response. They had a response last night.
Hockey.
Huge in so many ways. Demetrius in Rhode Island.
Hey, guys. I was at the Garden last night. Great time, other than my mom puking on my Chara jersey, but all's good because I bought a McAvoy after. But I'm not afraid of any team in the Eastern Conference at all, and I think last night was a bigger win than most people think, not because they have first place in the Eastern Conference, but like there's a huge intimidation factor now. Like when Tuukka Rask was throwing those blocker punches, like, wow, it reminds you of like Vancouver and Boston in 2011. Just crazy. Like, huge intimidation factor. There's no chance that any other team, except Pittsburgh maybe, knocks off the Bruins.
What's going on in the background?
I'm so distracted because I'm pretty sure the Chinese space station just fell out of the sky in the background on that call.
What was he doing?
Did you hear that? I couldn't pay
attention. I thought it was all whistling.
No, that's all I could hear.
I thought he was like,
I couldn't listen
rockets.
To his call at all.
No, I had no idea what he was
saying. Bottle rockets sound like firecrackers.
Do we have it?
You have it? Play it again?
Re-rack it?
Yeah.
Yeah, in a second, yeah.
Oh, I thought,
oh,
sorry.
Okay, sorry.
T-Bone's rewinding.
Little nonverbal communication mishap there. I thought he was motioning us that he was about to play it.
No, I was looking at Zoe whistling, and it sounded exactly like what I heard. I think it was Zoe the whole time.
It was not me. You were right here.
It was not him. It was not Zoe. I looked at Zoe.
You can hear it's over the phone.
Absolutely over the phone. The space station just crashed in Rhode Island. You said the debris field was the size of Rhode Island. It just covered the entire state.
Who says
like
debris?
It was a Chinese space snow shower.
It's Sosi that says debris, isn't it?
Sounds like something from Urban Dictionary.
Yeah, with that big thing that got thrown on the field up in Buffalo.
Sounds like something used to get faxed to your office back in the late 90s. Here's some body humor for you. You ever seen this little list of definitions?
And the facts.
Yeah.
Yellow piece of debris.
No, Bob.
No, we do need Sarandis, though. Dodge debris.
Schlong.
Dodge debris.
That might be a Felgrim as exclusive.
No.
Dodge debris.
It didn't happen on their show.
It doesn't matter. It's the only place I've ever heard it.
That's not true. We've played it on this show before. In fact, Jimmy Stewart's in here helping to get it up. To play it.
Who said it?
We can do it all later. We'll do it next.
We could.
Okay, we should.
We could.
Let's do that.
We could, but quickly, Tony and Shirley. Tony.
Hey, boys. How you been?
Good.
Hey, listen, a couple of quick points I'll be off the air. One thing is, I don't care who was in the backfield when that game played, the Patriots. That guy threw like Brady. He was pinpoint. It could have been Sherman. The passes were that good. And one more note. I got home late last night, and I like to watch the Bruins in two. Who's the Einstein that puts the Red Sox on? They just started. I'm serious. The ratings must have gone right down to the crapper. You know what I'm saying? I want to watch the Bruins. It's exciting. Even if they lose, they come back.
Good second guess there. Why would they play Bruins? Why would they play Red Sox in two over Bruins in two yesterday?
Because it's opening day.
Day game for the Red Sox, and people had missed that meltdown. Once you find out what happened in that game, you do not really want to go back and watch that thing. That was ugly.
Dwayne Rollison had to dodge debris.
There it is!
You schmuck!
Yes!
You schmuck!
You will hear from that guy in the backfield Tony referred to. That'd be Malcolm Butler.
Nice.
We'll hear from Butler next.
Zolak and Bertrand. It is no longer wise to ignore it. On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Malcolm, can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I hear you.
Okay, listen, busy day. We got 9
phone calls from 9 different teams, all expressing interest in you. No offers have been made yet.
Well, that's the agent for Malcolm Butler calling Malcolm Butler, letting him know about the interest that he had on the free agent market when free agency opened up earlier this month in the NFL. Letting him know that he had a lot of teams. The reason why we have that audio is because Malcolm Butler was being filmed by Sports Illustrated for about, what, an 11-minute piece that they've put together? Like a little mini documentary.
It's about his free agency, yeah.
Free agency with Malcolm Butler.
Malcolm versus... Time. Nice.
Malcolm versus time. Malcolm versus the Patriots. Here's what we've got. Here's the rest of what has been put up in a preview clip. We'll have more of this later. We're working on obtaining the audio of the rest of the piece. But here's what is widely available right now on social media. It popped up last hour.
It was times when I was on the sideline, I just wanted to go up and, you know, say to Belichick or Matt Patricia and just say, this how we going to end this. I grew up in the Patriot system, you know, and I'm a well-mannered guy. You know, I respect my authority, and I just couldn't ask them for something they didn't want to do. I just was doing my job. I was close to going up there and saying what I wanted to say to Matt or Belichick, but I just stayed in my lane and just did my job, man. I really wanted to go ask him, man, but I didn't.
Thought about going up to him on the sideline, Patricia or Belichick, what?
No, I'm trying to wrap my head
this
around.
This isn't dead. You understand why this isn't dead?
The narrative continues.
Y'all keep on
that
preparing.
He doesn't know why, and no one else is saying. Can we hear that again, please, Jim?
It was times when I was on the sideline, I just wanted to go up and, you know, say to Belichick or Matt Patricia and just say, this how we going to end this. I grew up in the Patriot system, you know, and I'm a well-mannered guy. You know, I respect my authority, and I just couldn't ask them for something they didn't want to do. I just was doing my job. I was close to going up there and saying what I wanted to say to Matt or Belichick, but I just stayed in my lane and just did my job, man. I really wanted to go ask him, man, but I didn't.
Yeah,
this is how we're going to end
let's
this.
Let's rip another scab off and reopen this wound again. So he's telling you, I'm a well-mannered guy and I respect authority. So obviously nothing happened with authority, whether it was a head coach, assistant coach, family member. There was no confrontation then, okay? That's obvious. So a kid that started 17 games, I'm sorry to get upset again, they played more than 98% of the snaps against damn good receivers in this league for the last 4 years. All of a sudden, it's told you're not going to play a single snap in the Super Bowl. He doesn't know why. He wasn't going to ask. This is really weird, man. You know what? It's going to bite my tongue, stay in my lane. And, hey, it is what it is. It doesn't work this way in the real world. You're given a reason. They tell you. They are straight down the middle, man. There ain't ins and outs, and they don't play head games with you. He got that from Parcells. Parcells always told you where you stood. Why aren't I playing? You really want to know, honey? Here you go. How about the last third down and 10 period? You hit 2 of 8 with 2 picks. That's why you're not getting reps today. And he would tell you. This is so odd for a player of that magnitude to get benched, to not get a reason or be told a reason, but more importantly, not to go and ask why. You're just going to internalize it and walk away? Yeah, this is normal. This is so, it's such a normal football decision. What a scheme. What a cooked up scheme that was. You ain't fooling me. You ain't fooling me. Been around this game too long. That stuff that happened that Sunday, that don't happen. Unless something went down. Why are we him-hawing both sides of it? Nobody knows why. Or they won't tell you why. He sure as hell still doesn't know why.
More from Malcolm Butler.
Week before the Super Bowl, you know, I wasn't feeling too well. Like, I had the flu, nose running, nose stopped up. You know, I took a trip to the hospital, and I didn't travel with the team the day they traveled down there.
Stop.
Again, kind of him-hawing. I kind of had the flu, threw the runny nose in there this time. Kind of took a trip to the hospital. Yeah, check himself into the ball. See, I thought he was checked in the hospital for a couple days. He was getting IVs and stuff, right? Dehydrated. Let's quarantine him. Let's get him to the Mass General. Let's get him to our doctors. Let's quarantine him in a hospital. Took a trip to the hospital. He could have went to a walk-in, for all as we know. I went to the walk-in. I got medicine. I got Tamiflu. Bam, there. I took a trip. I didn't get admitted. So if he took a trip to the hospital and then went home, now it's an issue. If you ain't checking yourself in or you're not with team, you mean to tell me they don't have team doctors back here? Team, the head, all the heads of staff, or whatever, all eight of them, they travel with the team. They're on the plane. They are at the hotel with the team in case something goes down. So you mean to tell me anybody on their staff that works underneath them, you know, their assistants, you know, the guy that's on call at the current time, you mean that guy can't pick up the phone and say, hey, we got Malcolm coming in, guys. Keep a lookout for him. We got to admit him. We got to get him up on fluids or whatever. This is weird, man. It's getting weirder, too, okay?
Trip to the hospital, and I didn't travel with the team the day they traveled down there.
Yeah. If I am a Patriots fan, I am screaming, demanding answers why Malcolm Butler did not play in this game.
What happened with Malcolm Butler? Best you can tell. What's going on?
This is just bizarre.
What Bill Belichick did was an outright disgrace to Malcolm Butler.
I never missed a game, never, like, missed practice or anything like that. And what we would have won if, you know, I played, probably, maybe. Not sure, but I would say we were short about one or two plays. And I seen a couple plays out there I could have made. It was just a coaching decision. This one ain't work out good for me, him, or the New England Patriots organization.
Now, Beetle, you heard a little of this beforehand. You said you seemed to have a reaction where you thought maybe he was a little off base.
Not so much in this part,
because to me,
not in this
it wasn't
part,
audio related. It was a visual.
It's not audio related.
Okay,
what I think he's a little off base on, which we'll get to. This part, I find it to be genuine, and I think the part about wanting to go to the coaches and say something and then not is going to be interpreted in two different ways. The people that believe something happened are going to say, oh, he didn't want to say something because he knew he was in the wrong.
Yep.
That would be Scott. Is that you?
Yeah, me.
Or the people who don't believe something happened, I don't believe anything happened. I don't believe there was this fight or all these fabricated stories.
Don't put fight in my mouth.
Oh, late.
I'm saying it could
the
be.
Rick, all those rumors that were out there, the Rick Ross concert.
He already denied
missing
that.
Curfew.
He denied that.
Fighting with a coach, fighting with Steven Belichick.
Never had a confrontation with anybody of my authority.
There's some people that just can't bring themselves to accept that it got personal between Bill Belichick and Malcolm Butler and that a bad decision was made as a result. Like, that's. These guys are all human.
God, this sounds to me like he missed.
So what do we have
something?
To do? We have to, yeah, exactly. You just keep making things up,
no.
And throwing crap against the wall.
No, but
when
I'm
it
like,
comes to
I
Malcolm
got,
Butler.
I got to go with what he's telling us. Like, I kind of got sick, runny nose, and I went to the hospital. I think all this came to a head while the team's leaving, and they're like, "What do you mean you're sick? You're sick or you're not sick?" And then did they get down there and they find out he's not in the hospital? Because they were scurrying late on Tuesday, somebody leaving a hotel to go pick his ass up at the airport.
Great. I mean, maybe he wasn't into it that week.
Know.
Maybe he's totally screwed up his week, and he wasn't as focused, and maybe he didn't communicate it well when he needed to go get the IVs at the hospital.
Then why didn't he ask him that?
They had a very legitimate reason to say, you know what? We're going to put Eric Rowe in the game because Rowe had a good week of practice, and Malcolm didn't, and
that's
we're going to roll with Rowe.
That's fine.
And it's so, that's fine. It's when you get into that second half and you still haven't made a change or haven't tried something different.
What he's saying. I saw
just try
plays.
Something different.
I'm sitting, I'm watching this. I go, I know there's three plays I could have made.
I mean,
he could have made that tackle on that third and seven, that drag route that they ended up converting. A little 2 yard pass.
The only thing you have to lose is the game itself, which they eventually did.
Yep.
So why not try something?
And the fact he knew that third and fourth quarter, though, he had to sit there and eat it because he was in tears prior to the game because they told him, you will not play a defensive snap. That decision was made right before game time, too. Because I was chumming with him in the pregame, and he was pretty damn slappy happy. And he had his headphones on, and he's doing his normal warm-up, and now all of a sudden he's in tears on the sideline.
So I find him to be candid,
an hour later.
Candid in this. I believe that if he had really done something wrong and knew it, I don't think he's out here filming this. I don't think he's talking about this stuff. I don't think he's doing this. I don't think he's putting out a video or agreeing to do videos following him where he talks openly about it, where he's going to lie or pretend to not know what happened.
No.
So I believe him. I believe him.
All I know is this. Whatever he did, a guy like Mike Vrabel, who Bill Belichick respects more than anybody, and John Robinson, who Bill has talked about, probably picked up the phone and asked them the question, what happened with him? And I bet you Bill gave them the answer. And they were still comfortable enough to offer him 62 with 32 guaranteed.
We have the agent actually commenting on the whole, on how it's affected him during free agency.
Good. We'll get to that coming up. More from Malcolm Butler and more thoughts on this, along with something that appeared in this video. Similar to Pablo Sandoval's vision board, Butler's got a little something along these lines of his own, and this is where I think it gets a little wacky.
Pretty lady?
Sports Hub Headlines.
Bruins got a win last night over the Tampa Bay Lightning, 4-2 at the TD Garden. Bruce Cassidy, first place in the Eastern Conference. Nice.
It's a nice honor to be in first place, It could change Saturday. I mean, for us, I think we haven't talked about the standings much this year, and we won't going forward. When the 82 games are over, we'll see where we are, who we got, and we'll go from there.
Yeah, good change. Tomorrow, the Bees stay home, take on the Florida Panthers, 1 p.m. game. Be a quick turnaround at the Garden as the Celtics be there tomorrow night to play the Toronto Raptors. As for the Red Sox, they lost their season opener to Tampa Bay, 6-4 at Tropicana Field. Two teams will go again tonight. David Price gets the start opposite Blake Snell in the second of the four-game set. Headlines are brought to you by Live Nation. Bon Jovi rocks the TD Garden this Monday, April 2nd. Don't miss this show. Get your tickets now at LiveNation.com. I'm Hardy. I'm Boston's home for sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub. More headlines in 30 minutes.
It's the joy of the hot dog.
Boom. Like, I win. Like, yeah.
But he has the ability to get skinny in the hole.
I know. I want to get it out.
Highly underrated piece of meat.
Beetle and Zell.
Sports Hub host for the most.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Malcolm Butler did a story, a little mini documentary on his free agency. And I will give credit to Michael Hurley from CBSBoston.com. Mm-hmm.
Couldn't think of it.
We don't work with him anymore. He works for a competitor. Michael Hurley on Twitter, at Michael F. Hurley, points out that in this, Malcolm Butler has God's plan, a handwritten page.
Drake.
And God's plan.
Yeah.
And also has top cornerbacks and salaries, along with team salary cap information.
Mm.
Top corners, what they're getting paid, and salary cap space information. It's a couple of pieces of paper that are cut out of a printout and then looks like pasted or taped to another piece of paper. Hardy used to do something like this every day for his headlines. I haven't seen you do that in a while, buddy.
I know. It's
it's like with Shaughnessy comes out his dates.
Yeah. I got away from it. I should go back to
it. You probably should. So he's got that. But God's plan. You ready for God's plan? It's a 10-point plan. God has a 10-point plan.
It's a lot of planning.
Number one on the 10-point plan is God's plan. So apparently God's plan is a part of God's plan.
It's like the first rule of Fight Club.
Yeah.
You don't talk about Fight Club.
Right.
Beat their ass.
But the first rule of Fight Club was not Fight Club.
First rule of Fight Club is these are the rules of Fight Club.
So you're saying he's got an envelope. He's got a folder that says God's plan.
Okay, now on to rule number two.
So he's got a folder that's got God's plan. Number one, when you open the folder, it says God's plan?
Yeah, it says God's plan. Rule number one, or point number one, God's plan.
All right.
God's plan is a part of the 10-point God's plan.
It's an important thing.
Point number two, started at the bottom.
This is Drake. You understand what this is? Start at the bottom, now we hear. Drake's got the God's Plan song. He's just writing down songs he likes from Drake. That had nothing to do with his contract.
You think that's what it is?
That's the two Drake songs that I know. Start at the bottom, now we're here. He did, though. He started at the bottom.
Well, God's Plan is number one of God's Plan. Number two... Number two on the list is started at the bottom. Number three, we cannot read. I can't figure out what number three says. Do you have the list up, Artie? Do you want to take a guess at that?
What?
Interception? I can't tell.
I almost thought interracial, but I know that's obviously not what it is.
Intensity?
Are you looking at it, so?
No.
I can't make out what it is. I cannot figure out what that says. International. Sure. It's something.
Internal.
Internal. I don't know. Inter something.
IRS.
No, I don't know. No, there's definitely an INT at the start of that.
Interview.
No, I don't think it says interview. But whatever it says, it's on the plan. Number four is never tired. Number five. Every day we lit.
Every day we lit! That's another song. That's Migos, right?
Number six, in the middle of it.
These are all the songs they play in warm-ups.
Number seven, the best in me. Number eight, no problem with me.
Dude, this is his playlist.
March, number nine is March, making moves.
Bless you.
I think it's like making moves.
Hippa hoppa. I can't see it.
And number 10 is the best is yet to come.
The best of times.
That's God's plan.
Wait, number 9 wasn't making money?
Making, what's it say?
When was he getting lit?
I thought it said make money.
Well, the last thing says moves. Or so is it say making money moves?
I have a question. Which day was he lit? Money.
Making money moves must be number 9.
Money, playmaker, make a play. And moneymaker. Every day we live.
This is what God has in mind, huh?
I'm confused.
It's a little vision board-esque.
I think it's a life structure. Like for every day you got something.
It's something.
That's some deep stuff.
Yeah, sure is. Ben and Sterling. Hi, Ben.
Hey, what's happening, guys?
What do you got?
Hey, what's up?
Hey, one thing I really never hear about people talking about is over the past few years, end of season, middle of the season, when they make transactions and they let people go, especially at the end of the season, say LeGarrette Blount, and then people getting all butthurt over this season with Deion Lewis and Amendola and all that stuff. Don't you guys think that the Patriots get these guys on very, very cheap to begin with, and then they, Belichick or whoever coaching, puts them in very, very good positions to look good, and they don't keep them because they know, hey, you know, these guys I can pick up anywhere, and these guys are going to go get paid big time because we made them look good, and then they're not going to come back at the Patriots and complain about that and say, I hate the time that I had in the Patriots, because if it wasn't for the Patriots, not only would I might have not even got a job in the NFL, but I definitely wouldn't have got paid what I am now for a team that necessarily might not be doing anything, but they're making millions of dollars.
Okay, so what does this have to do with the Super Bowl, though? So you can't play him in the second half of the Super Bowl because why?
No, this just didn't have anything to do with the whole Super Bowl.
That's kind of my point. I don't know. So what? Yes, there are guys that are brought in here that are coached up, that become better players because they played for Bill Belichick, and ultimately may get more money than they would have received had they not been coached up and become the players that they were by Bill Belichick. But let's not act like the players can't continue to be good players. You think Malcolm Butler can go to Tennessee and be a good corner? Yep, he can.
Unless he's not lit every day.
Well, he is lit every day. That's part of his rules, part of God's plan.
Never tired, though. Give him credit for that.
Except when he had to go to the hospital the week before the Super Bowl.
Well, that's
kinda,
sick.
Kinda. Well, Jim, that was kind of.
He didn't go because he was tired. He went because he was sick.
Jim?
Can't put never sick.
Jim, everybody knows.
Jim, he kind of was sick and kind of went to the hospital, okay? Just so you know that.
617-779-0985 is the telephone number. You'll actually hear more sound of Malcolm Butler next.
Making your job suck just a little bit less.
You think they have a big hole?
I think they have a big hole.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
We got to let this thing play out, and we've got to see which teams are going to be serious here at the end, okay?
All right, cool.
Well, Derek, we need to address a lot of those questions after the Super Bowl. How do you think that went?
It went good. You know, only a couple teams really raised that issue. I don't think that's going to affect this process at all. I really don't. Malcolm, I need you to relax, okay, if you can. Just relax and let this thing just play out. And it's going to play out fine, I think, okay?
All right, cool. I'm good. Just keep working.
Okay, all right, bye-bye.
He's good. He's got God's plan working for him.
Yeah, but he was clearly jealous.
Yeah, a little bit. I don't have God on my side like he does. Whew, I'll tell you. He was nervous about the Super Bowl impacting his money.
Why wouldn't he be?
Why would he be?
What?
Why would he be nervous?
Why? What do you mean? Why would he be nervous? Because there was a public perception that he had done something wrong.
Yeah. Bad damaged goods.
Was he worried that there was a public perception or that there was something that happened?
No, I think he's worried because the perception is something that happened between him and Bill Belichick. Yeah. The same way Bill Belichick can sprinkle his fairy dust on Jacoby Brissett or any other player, and all of a sudden everyone in the league wants that player. I mean, there is a premium that you pay to get a guy from the Patriots. Guys have got the Patriots thing, have gone out and made more money in free agency because they were a former Patriot and been coached by Bill Belichick, and there are so many guys in this league that don't know what they're doing running teams. That it's, well, if he was good enough for Belichick, he's certainly good enough for me. He's worth the money.
Now, you would say that.
Whereas if Belichick benches a guy, it can work in the opposite. Oh, if Belichick benched him, what do I want to pay him top dollar for? That can work both ways.
Bill's the greatest coach ever, and he benched the kid in the biggest game ever. Something's wrong here. We can't touch him. But isn't it interesting, and don't you think Tennessee's heading in the right direction? That's a decent team. They got a nice, good young core. The Tennessee has the most ties to your organization with the head coach and the GM, the two biggest spots other than quarterback in that organization, and they went all in on Malcolm. What does that say? And he said, you hear the agent there telling him, Malcolm, I need you to relax. And it's hard, man, because everything's going through your head. And Malcolm's got this handler that's always with him. And you see it in the video. He's the guy that does all his personal appearances with him, sort of the front man, keeps everybody back. He's very protective of Malcolm. And the agents working the phones. So this is really good audio and video. It is. It's a good look in as to how the process, you know, unfolds when guys go through free agency. Especially a player like him. Because you heard the handler say, well, how do you think, Kevin, this the reaction from the Super Bowl is? Well, what are you talking about? Oh, I think it's going to be fine. I think we're going to be just fine. I don't think that's going to affect us one bit. There were a couple questions, but we dodged them. When the offer actually comes in, and now all of a sudden you get three concrete ones.
Oh, boy.
This is where all the pressure.
I got a tweet for you.
What do you got?
Mike Giardi, NBC Sports Boston.
What'd he do now?
That's why I was telling you, keep talking, I'll look something up. Mike Giardi just tweeted this out a minute ago. texted a couple current Patriots, current guys still on the roster, about Malcolm Butler media tour and his comments to Sports Illustrated. One said, quote, "We all wished it would have worked out better, but he should have focused on what mattered those 2 weeks." Another said, quote, "We didn't like the decision, but it wasn't without merit." Wow. Those are two guys firing back in the mat. Now, these are anonymous. These are not named. I mean, do you trust Mike Giardi that he texted two current Patriots?
I do.
I sure as
hell
do.
Yeah.
I know that guy, and I know. Yep.
No, Giardi's not going to make it.
It probably hurts him, too, because he's been pro Butler this whole time, hasn't he?
Who's that?
Giardi.
Giardi's always been
pro
a Butler.
Pro Butler,
guy.
Pro Jimmy G, right?
That tells you that he's not afraid to report something that doesn't suit his agendas.
Merit, that's why I believe it.
That's why, I mean, that's a good reporter. He'll tell you his opinion, and he'll tell you the truth, like what guys are saying.
If it's injury or illness or game plan, do you use the word merit? Or do you use, to me, that's cause.
Like a demerit, right? You think off the field activity.
A former Patriot is trying to tell you, he didn't play because he was sick and he didn't have the game plan. They're going to do something else. So, it's not like they did it for no reason.
You can play when you're sick.
Merit. It's an interesting word.
It's an interesting word
This takes you back 2.5 years to when he showed up late for that OTA because he missed a flight.
I mean,
and they sat his ass for 2 weeks in practice.
I hate to do this, but who do we think one of them is? Who hangs out at Comcast? I'm sorry, NBC Sports Boston, like once a week and comes
there's
in.
A guy that does a podcast that's tied into it that's
really
retired.
I don't know this.
There's a guy that's retired that also works
it's two current
I understand
Patriots.
That. I've kind of got the same stuff back, too. Now.
Oh, really?
What?
Can you share with the class?
What have you gotten back?
No, there are people, they're still wondering what, but they know that when decisions like that are made, they're made for a reason.
Doesn't that go back to himself saying about being kind of not focused?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fine. And you know what? That's a good. If he wasn't focused, then fine. Bench him.
Because what do they
that's
preach?
Okay.
Do your job. Engage. I want guys that
bench
are engaged
him.
And it's football. It's important
sit him down. Him. By the time the third quarter rolled around, could you at least consider putting him in?
Something was effed up these 2 weeks because he talks about 2 weeks, one of the players. Again, and go to what Logan Ryan said on Sirius XM. He did an interview where he said, "I'm going to just put this out there. I think we all knew Malcolm wasn't going to start that game." So he's still talking to guys back there. He went to school with them all. They played together. They won Super Bowls together. He knows what the drill is. He says, just a little interesting he didn't get in the game for a snap. You know? Like, they're talking about it.
I'm laughing in a tweet by our very own Tom Morgan. T-Bone, did you see his tweet?
I don't follow him.
Of course you don't. He said Malcolm Butler's vision board looks an awful lot like Charlie's dream book on Always Sunny. And if you watch Always Sunny, you understand that reference. If you don't, take a look at the tweet. Brilliant. Brilliant.
Yes, I follow T-Bone. I wish he would change his handle to T-Bone.
So his vision board is jeans and chicken?
No. No, the dream book is. He's making, you don't get it because you haven't watched it.
Seen the show.
Yeah. Okay, 617-779-0985. We have more from Butler. We've got more of that audio in.
So a lot of the stuff from the rest of the way is like on the free agent process. He talks to his brother about what teams they're focusing in on that they want to go to, and then the agent keeps giving him updates on the offers coming in throughout the day. It's pretty fascinating audio if you want to hear it. But
okay, have you watched this entire thing now?
Yes, all 11 minutes.
What's the best part? Is it what we've already played?
I think it's the numbers coming in.
The local Patriots angle is that, but I think the most, I mean, for me, I'm the same guy who wants to be a fly on the wall in the draft room.
Yeah.
So this behind-the-scenes stuff, hearing the agent talk about the offers is pretty fascinating.
Yeah, teams are going to be pissed about this stuff. Just numbers being discussed like this and filmed.
Let's just say the largest offer might have been the largest offer prior, and it got bumped a little bit. So maybe the agent wasn't so bad after all.
Oh, you think the agent was pulling a Scott Boras, making a team bid against itself?
It makes the agent look really good, yeah. Well, whatever, I don't know how they edited it, but it makes the agent look really
good. Sure Malcolm Butler's going to be off to a great start with his new team. Way to really help that relationship. Pull back the curtain and show them how you screwed them. You haven't even suited up and put their uniform on yet. All right, we'll do that in 90 seconds.